Well, I'm not going to keep you long. There is a word from the Lord taken from Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, verse 20, the 30th verse. Only the 30th verse. The background scriptures were from the NIV, chapter 22 through 23 through 30. And the only reason I did that because the 23rd, in this translation, they don't talk about prophets first, but they say princes. And that was important, as you will see when we in the passage. But Ezekiel 22:30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." For a subject this morning, I want to raise the question, are you the one? God bless you. You may be seated. There's a hymn that says, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me." This great hymn reminds us that we all have a cross to bear. And that God has called us out of darkness to the marvelous light, and that we have a responsibility to live crucified lives, resurrected in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so while we're down here, we understand that there are going to be times when we're going to have to struggle. Dr. Martin Luther King once said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Amen. My brothers and sisters, anybody can smile. Amen. When the weather's nice. Amen. But when adversity comes, how do you handle the adversity? We live in a day and an age where we are constantly bombarded with racism, that we are constantly bombarded with acts of violence because of somebody's religious preference, or because of somebody's sexuality. You know, there are a lot of reasons people use to espouse hate. But the God that I serve is love. And he has unconditional love. There are a lot of things I don't know. But one thing I do know. Jesus loves me. This I know. Well, the Bible tells me so. I don't know a whole lot of stuff, but I know Jesus loves me.
Amen.
You know, as we look at Ezekiel, I like these the prophets, because the prophets were bold and courageous. They were God's mouthpiece. They spoke on behalf of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And they were courageous. And they went into the palaces and telling the king, "You better get your act together. You're going to bust Hades wide open." Amen. And Amos, I'm telling you, Amos was really courageous, because he called the wealthy women of the cows of Bashan. First of all, you know, it's one thing to condemn them for their being greedy.
Yeah.
And their husbands robbing the poor to give them more. But Amos said, their cows are shunned.
Yeah,
they're fat, wealthy. They got more than what they needed. In fact, some of them needed to be on the diet. Amen. but they wanted more and more. When I listen to the prophets, it's as if the prophets are still speaking to us today, because some of the same things that went on then is going on now. In Ezekiel 22:30, the first thing that came to me from this passage was God was looking for a reason to spare Jerusalem. Listen to Ezekiel 22:38. It says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge." God was not looking, my brothers and sisters, for one of those fine, strong, durable cedar trees of Lebanon. He was just looking for a bush, a flimsy bush to stand in the gap.
Yeah.
Fill the breach in the wall, the breach of moral decay, the breach that separated God from man. He needed somebody to stand and call the people of that day to repent and to come and allow God to bless them. I want you to know that God loved Jerusalem so. He loved his people, although they had committed hideous sins.
Yeah, yeah.
He was still looking for a reason, an excuse to spare them. Why? Because he's a merciful God. He's a long-suffering God. Because he loved us. Even in spite of ourselves. He loved us when we were unloved and unlovable. John 3:16 in the New Testament reminds us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I got two sons and a daughter. And as much as I love everybody here, I'm not ready to sacrifice one of my children.
Amen.
But God did not spare his son. I want you to know that we ought to be grateful, that we ought to be thankful that God loves us in spite of us, and he does everything on our good. I think, who is it? Romans 8:28 says, what does Romans 8:28 say? Somebody tell me. All things work together for good. Those who love the Lord and who are called by his name. Amen? Doesn't mean everything that happens is good. But God has a way of working things out for our good. Amen? Isn't that good news today? And so when we look at in Ezekiel's day, he's saying God was looking for an excuse, a reason, not to destroy Jerusalem. He was looking for a reason because that is where he dwelled among his people. He had a temple there, amen. He had his crib there, amen. He lived in the midst of his people, and he was looking for an excuse not to destroy. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
It wasn't because we didn't deserve it, or they didn't deserve it, because they deserved everything that was going to happen because of their sin. But God is such a loving and compassionate that he looks beyond all of our faults and see our needs. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And so God was looking for a reason, an excuse, why he should not destroy Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Isn't that? I don't know about you, but that's exciting. And the second point is, he sought for a man to stand in the gap. Any man would have been okay. You didn't have to be of a certain class, but you did have to have a unique skill. You see, there were some righteous folk around. Jeremiah was a righteous man. He was a contemporary of Ezekiel, and both of them were prophets. But Jeremiah, every time he talked, he made the folk mad. They tired and feathered the brother. And he got so upset, he said, I ain't gonna open my mouth no more. But I'm telling you, when you're God's man, you can't keep silent. I don't care, you might get mad and you're gonna wanna stop. But you can't help yourself. Jeremiah says, it's like fire shut up in my bones. And I just got to tell somebody. I'm telling you, when God has his hands on you, he has a way of using you, even when you don't want to. Yes. But here in verse, the B portion, he sought for a man to stand in the gap. In other words, he searched diligently. He hunted for a man. He pursued cautiously. He went looking meticulously for a man to stand in the gap. He searched high and he searched low for a man who would be bold and courageous enough to stand in the gap. According to Ezekiel, he looked among the leaders, and he looked among the common folk. The indictment against the princes were, they were like lions. They devoured and abused people. They stole and robbed people. They killed people to ensure that they would remain in power. Then you look at the priests. They violated God's laws. They polluted the holy things of God. They failed to teach the difference between the clean and the unclean. They failed to keep the Sabbath holy, and they dishonored God's name. Then the political officials, they were like greedy wolves. They used violence to intimidate people. They used unscrupulous methods to guarantee their positions of power and wealth would continue on. And then there were some false prophets. We got some of those today, don't we? Those who talk about prosperity preaching. Amen. And they take it out of context. And you know, some of them say, you send me a prayer cloth, I'll send you a prayer cloth. You give me $25. There are some folk who would let you think that you can buy your prosperity. There are some folk who they don't care if you own, well, in Detroit it used to be ADC and welfare, aid to dependent children. And if you didn't have any children, you own welfare if you wasn't able to collect Social Security. But I've seen some preachers taking from folk. And always taking, never giving back. One thing I commend your pastor for is he's investing in you.
Amen.
He is trying to get you to invest in somebody tonight. Because we all are family. We're all God's children. And we got to learn how to love one another. Amen. But let me get back to these false prophets. Because they were preaching a false message. They falsely claimed to be God's ministers. You know, they're what I call those false prophets. They're hirelings. They're guys who work for pay. If money runs out, they go.
Amen.
If trouble comes, they go. But those who are true prophets will stand in the midst of difficult situations. But then, after we saw that the leaders all had issues, all had shortcomings, then he gets to the people. And this was the terrible part. The people were practicing extortion toward one another. They stole and robbed from each other. They oppressed other folk like themselves. And they didn't appreciate foreigners. They abused foreigners. They treated people unfairly. My brothers and sisters, Jesus looked among all those people, and there was no one that was willing to stand up for truth. There was no one who really loved the Lord and was willing to be bold and courageous. And so that gives us the third thing that we get from this text, is the indictment against Jerusalem was that God found no one credible to stand in the gap. What a terrible thing to live in the world, to breathe God's fresh air, to be blessed with life, health, and strength. And there's no one there willing to say thank you. There's no one there that's willing to say, for Christ I live, and for Christ I die. For in the text, what we discover is he found no one with a clear vision. In other words, someone who knew who he was and whose he was. There was nobody who recognized that they were in the land of the living, because God had been good to them.
Amen.
And God had blessed them to live in a land flowing with milk and honey. He had blessed them. My brothers and sisters, and when I think about this, he found no one with a clear vision. No one that really understand that God is Alpha and Omega. He recognized that there was no one that understood what their purpose was in life. That they were here that they should glorify and magnify God. And then the second thing that he tells them is that he found no one with a pure life. Meaning there was no one who hadn't been tainted with sin. There was no one who hungered and thirsted for righteousness' sake. There was no one who wanted to really do the will of the Lord. Every man wanted to have his own way. And then he found no one of strong ethical and spiritual character. There was no one willing to stand up for right and righteousness. What a dark period in our history. And even today, let's bring it home. We have a president who feels he is above the law. We have a House and a Senate that is divided along party lines. We see white nationalism come to the forefront. during at number 45's presidency, yes. Our nation's commander in chief has attempted to intimidate and bully other nations as well as our allies. We have an alarming number of hate crimes and mass killings that has taken place in our nation. We see families being separated, and the list goes on and on and on of the horrific crimes against mankind, against humanity. You remember he told four minority women to go back to where they came from. The reality, if everybody went back where they came from, the only people would be here would be Indians. Amen? And so, you know, when we think about our nation puts profit over people, which is evident by the tax cuts given to the wealthy. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know that our God is good. Yes. And that he sits high and he looks low. Yes. He knows all about our situation. Yes. And he knows about our trials and tribulations. Yes. Today, God is still seeking men who are willing to stand in the gap. The need is greater now than ever before. The question is, are you the one for whom God is seeking to stand in the gap? In our schools, we need somebody to speak for our children. In our communities, we need somebody who's willing to stand up with our people, or for our people. In our jobs, on our jobs, we need somebody to stand up in the gap for us. In our homes, we need fathers that will really be daddies. We need fathers, men that will be husbands to their wives. We need men to take leadership in our churches. We need men who are willing to stand for Christ. We need men who love the Lord because he heard your cry, pitied your every moan and groan. I don't know about you, but I came running to Jesus just as I was. I was wounded, weary and sad, and in God, in Jesus, I found a resting place, and now my heart has been made glad. And I can truthfully tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because God has saved me. He has washed me white as snow. He set my feet on a solid rock, and that rock is Jesus, Mary's baby. He interrupted time, defied natural laws. In heaven, he was God the Son. On earth, he was God the Son. And I want you to know, when they took him to Calvary's mountain, he hung up there, bled and died for your sins and mine. But the good news is he got up after they had put him in a borrowed tomb. Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And so that's one of the reasons I want to serve him. That's one of the reasons I want everybody to know who Jesus is. Because he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And you know what? The best is yet to come. You have to ask yourself, are you allowing God to use you? God needs men to step up to the plate and be men. Amen. In the home, in the church, in the community, and in political offices. As I close the symbol, I want you to know that we in New Jersey, we were fighting for an independent prosecutor. And in January, during Martin Luther King's celebration. There were some people. There was this Baptist church asked the governor to come and be a speaker. And this governor was not going to sign that bill. And so I got my group of pastors together and we protested. One of my minister friends said, "Rat, you gonna protest at a Baptist church?" And I said, "If they're not doing the right thing, yes I am. I want you to know it was 7 below 0 and I had an asthma attack afterwards, but the good thing was the governor signed the deal." Amen. So I want you to know, while I made some folk mad because I went and protested in front of the church, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have to think outside of the box. And we have to understand if the church isn't doing what it ought to be doing. You know, I don't want God to call, get rocks to cry out for me. I can cry for myself. Amen. He gave me a voice. And he gave me enough of the anointing to know that everything's going to be all right. I want you to know it doesn't matter how big something the devil seems to be, that my God is greater than the devil. My God can do anything but fail. I want you to know it took us 4 years to get that bill passed. And what that bill was saying, that every time a person is killed by a police officer, that an independent prosecutor will have to hear the case. Because I want you to know, if somebody gets killed, even by the police ought to be accountable to everybody. There's none of us that are above the law. And right now, I hope Congress, I hope that these legislatures will get it together and send that message to Mr. Trump that he's not above the law. All of his lies won't save him this time. I want somebody to know, to let him know that justice may grind slowly, but it really does grind. Amen. Our system of government isn't perfect, but it's the best that we have. And we have folk to die that we can vote. So we have a responsibility to stand up and speak out. God wants to know, are you the one